the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learnt it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And all scripture is inspired by God, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Welcome to the parish church of Pimlico St. Peter with Westminster Christ Church. Our denomination is Church of England, and we belong to the worldwide association of churches known as the Anglican Communion. As a very small baby, less than a month old, I was baptized into the Church of England and was brought up as an Anglican, which, without my consciously realizing it, formed my beliefs and practices. About 150 years ago, the bishops of the Anglican Communion met at the Second Lambeth Conference and managed to agree on four principles which expressed the foundations of Anglican belief and practices, the foundations of our beliefs and practices. This quadrilateral, the Chicago Lambeth Quadrilateral, says these foundations are that the Old and New Testaments contain all that is necessary for salvation, the Apostles and the Nicene Creeds are a sufficient statement of Christian faith, we recognize the two sacraments ordained by Christ, baptism and the Lord's Supper, that is the Eucharist, and we accept the historic episcopate, that the bishops of the Anglican Communion are ordained in the apostolic succession, an unbroken chain going back to St. Peter. Other marks of Anglicanism are that we accept the three orders of ordained ministry, deacon, priest, and bishop, and recognize that only priests and bishops, because they are also priests, can bless, absolve, and preside at the Eucharist. Rather more reluctantly, I suspect, and certainly on my part, we accept the governance and ordering of the Church of England as regulated by canon law and its synodical system. The authority of Anglicanism comes from its three pillars: scripture, from which faith is derived, tradition, which applies faith to church order and worship, and reason of the mind and of the intuition, by which scripture and tradition are examined. These pillars are equally important and they're entwined in a dynamic relationship in which each informs the others. Recently, there have been some opinion columns in the Church Times suggesting that we might give thought to how we could relearn the relatedness of the pillars by becoming more biblically literate. The Bible is not a static document from which we listen to a set of readings on Sunday. It is dynamic. It is a library containing varied writings, historical, biographical, prophetical, poetical, liturgical. It is the story of humanity's interaction with God. The Bible contains contradictions, differing accounts of the same thing. How many of us, as we read the third gospel, remember that Luke was not one of the 12, but he was a second generation disciple? All he was taught had already passed through a lens of interpretation, and it must have been even more so for Israel in its wanderings in the desert and in its time in exile. The written accounts differ. There are many source documents. My Greek Testament has more than 100 pages listing manuscripts. Through the years, biblical scholars have looked at form and content, how things were written down, what was written down, and more often than I thought at first, reached the conclusion that, like today's epistle, the passages may not have been written by the person to whom they are attributed. The books of the Bible were written in specific contexts and through many centuries, read, edited, and interpreted in other contexts. And then there is also the vexed question of translation. All translation is interpretation. The words go through a mind other than the writer's. And then there is the evolution of the canon, the books of the Bible. The Bible's composition changed over the first few centuries after Christ's death, and today there are denominational variations in the canon. All scripture is inspired by God. Oh dear. This is taken by some as meaning all scripture is inerrant. But as the first clause of the quadrilateral says, the Old and New Testaments contain all that is necessary for salvation, not all that the Old and New Testaments contain is necessary for salvation. Quite clever and sensible wording. The quadrilateral was agreed and was written and phrased when the argument of the day was about the inerrancy of scripture. A better way of looking at inspiration is that suggested by Father Tony. He referred to the Bible as the lungs of the church, the organ with which the church breathes, the organ which gives the church life. The Bible is breathed into, inspired by God, and breathes out God to us. Through it, God lives in us. Think of it as the archetypal interactive document and let your imaginations run free. Timothy is told to use reason. Reason in the Anglican tradition is logical and intuitive. Reason of the mind and reason of the emotion of the religious experience. In his study of the God who breathes out to him, this means hard work for Timothy and those whom he was teaching, and it means hard work for us in this age too. It may sound daunting, but if we do not regard the Bible as an evolving document, we are in danger of giving the impression that the Bible is static and that we have itchy ears, that we are interpreting texts in only one way. And one of the saddest conversations I had at St. Melita's was with someone who hadn't been taught and therefore hadn't realised that passages could be read so that different meanings can be drawn out. And she was struggling badly with biblical studies. Well, how do we do this? The way is different for everyone, and all ways are valid. Reason in its two aspects, logic, intellect, is held in balance in all of us with intuition, emotion, and religious experience. We all use both aspects of reason, but in each of us the balance is tipped one way or the other, and which way depends on who we are, who God made us to be. Intellect, emotion, which we use more, who we are, who God made us to be. And which way the balance tips, for me or for you, has nothing whatever to do with our intellectual ability, our artistic or creative ability, our teaching in the faith, or our education. All of us, me, you, everyone, responds to God's promptings differently. I like to use the logic side of reason and dissect texts and context. And in doing so, have found that intuitive reason takes over, and occasionally I make the experiential leaps which leave one breathless. Now, others can use these intuitive leaps as a starting point. We read the Bible in our way, but we must enter into change when we realize that a familiar text means something different to you than it does to me than it does to you. We can all question. We can all discuss. Some of us are excited when we look at passages in commentaries, find out what others have said about them, when we see how our communal understanding has developed over the years. Others seem to grasp this evolution instinctively. We can accept that there may be more than one interpretation. We can accept that the church as we shares a communal learning experience as week by week we hear the gospel of the day read aloud. We can allow others' reason to speak to us. We can embrace our own and others' experiences of scripture, and we can let ourselves grow in understanding as we worship, while we worship, week by week, in the Anglican tradition, in the broad church, which accepts that all insights into scripture are from God, and we can be grateful that our tradition, the Anglican tradition, the tradition we have inherited, gives us the freedom to do this. Amen.